Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for being with us today for funding APHA priorities, achieving financial stability, maintaining organizational integrity. And we're really hoping that this becomes an interactive session for you. What I first want to do before we begin is actually introduce our speakers. I am Lynn Bethel, and I am the chair of the Committee on Social Responsibility and serve as an elected member of the Executive Board of APHA. We also have with us today Mark Hiller. Mark is a professor in health management and policy at the University of New Hampshire, teaching health ethics for more than 30 years. He's a founding committee member of the original Ethics SPIG here at APHA, which started 20 years ago. He's also active in the new Ethics section of APHA. He was chair of the Ethics Committee for SOFI, past chair of the Ethics Forum at the Association for University Programs and Health Administration, and he's a member of the Ethics Committee for the American College of Health Associations. He's past chair of the APHA Council on Affiliates and past president of the New Hampshire Public Health Association. We also have our APHA president, Shariki Kuminika, and she is professor emeritus of epidemiology at the University of Pennsylvania and research professor in community health and prevention at the Drexel University at the Dornsife School of Public Health. She's a longtime APHA member and is a previous APHA Executive Board Chair. As President of the Association, she has taken a strong interest in advancing the dialogue about how APHA can engage in strategically and effectively with other nonprofit sector groups. Also joining us later in the presentation will be Dr. Alonzo Plow from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Dr. Plow became Vice President for Research and Evaluation and Chief Science Officer at RWJ Foundation in January of 2014. As everyone knows, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation is one of the largest private funders of health and healthcare research in the nation, with the aim of producing evidence that policymakers and practitioners can use to build a culture of health. So as we begin, I wanted you to take a look at the agenda of what we're going to be going over today. And also remind you of the learning objectives of this particular session today. So to give you a bit of history, there's been a real or perceived risk here at the Association for accepting funding from certain corporate entities. And for more than a decade, the Committee on Social Responsibility has investigated and scored corporations and foundations for the purpose of evaluating them as potential sources of funding in terms of their business ethics. So throughout the year, the Committee on Social Responsibility is actually tasked with looking at corporations and foundations and providing them with a grade, if you want to say, or a score. And these are some of the areas that we actually look at in evaluating these corporations and foundations to look to see whether or not they mesh effectively in many different ways with the Association. In 2014, the Committee on Social Responsibility began to look in depth at private foundations, which are often corporate spin-offs. And at the 2014 annual meeting last year, we had an interactive roundtable discussion with governing councilors held on the subject of developing collaborations with out-of-the-box partners. Was anybody in the room part of that discussion? So what has changed, and why are we here? Why are we having these discussions? Due to APHA revenue constraints, funding new initiatives requires innovative financing and non-traditional funders. Does anybody work for health or government or any nonprofits now? you may actually have also experienced those financial constraints, and really looking in your own organizations is where you might be going out to look for funding from those non-traditional out-of-the-box partners. And again, you also have probably noticed in your own organizations that overall there's a diminishing investment in public health from those traditional funding sources. So as we talked about at that opening session yesterday, we want to be the healthiest nation by 2030. And to achieve that, we've really realized that APHA needs to stretch itself and seek broad funders and potential funding opportunities, including private sector sources. So where are we now? Our goal is to broaden APHA's funding base to optimize its capacity to be able to come and create ourselves as the healthiest nation by 2030. In order to do that, we need to establish guidelines for accepting funds from entities that are directly or indirectly related to corporate entities. So the plan is to discuss the conditions by which APHA can solicit or accept money from corporate funders or corporate foundations to advance the public health entity while adhering to the values and protecting our organization's interest. In doing that, we actually also had discussions with the COA and the ISC earlier this year, and looking to have that discussion with you all at the end of these presentations. So again, I want you to remind you that this is going to be an interactive presentation, and we welcome your comments and your suggestions as we move forward. I first would like to introduce Dr. Mark Heller, and he's going to take us from here.
So far. Good afternoon. My small role in this effort is to try to share and possibly go into a little greater depth with how the Committee on Social Responsibility looks at and considers the various corporate entities, corporate foundations in seeking funding. It's important to note that the CSR does their review, and then the products of our review are sent to the Development Committee of APHA, who then proceeds with making the formal decisions in terms of what APHA will do with their interaction with the Executive Board. So why consider ethics in this process? It was briefly introduced, but our effort is really to try to examine the moral choices, both those that are real and those that are potential, with regard to corporate funding sources to which APHA might seek funding. We're interested in looking at that history of those organizations, trying to assess where and how funding has been done in the past, looking in terms of how those corporations basically have behaved in their history up through the present with regard to issues such as rights, obligations, fairness, specific virtues that ultimately are all designed to promote the common good. We also seek to compare the values that either are stated by or reflected in their decisions that they've made for congruency with the mission and priority of APHA, in other words, APHA's values. We're particularly interested in being sure that we can, to the best of our ability, eliminate any perceived or real conflicts of interest that may arise prospectively, but more often a concern retrospectively with regard to funding that may be sought by the association, and to ensure the integrity of APHA's fund-seeking processes, particularly from the private sector. In doing this, we seek to examine the various corporate possibilities for funding in the context of a very traditional set of normative values. How does fairness how is fairness reflected in the activities of the particular corporate entity, both in terms of their treating their employees and their customers in a fair and just manner? Beneficence, seeking to understand how their efforts actually seek to benefit their employees and their customers when and wherever possible. Non-maleficence, looking at the corporations to assure as best we can that they have avoided decisions or actions that at least can be recognized or identified as potentially or in real cases causing harm to their employees, their customers, and the public as a whole. Respect, seeking to examine them with regard to how they treat their employees and customers in a manner that is respectful and honest and that reflects the high level of integrity, which again we want to see as being congruent with those organizations with that same high level of integrity that we have and retain with regard to APHA. And ultimately, the concept of a communitarian value, considering how these organizations in their own respective roles, in their own respective corporate practices, businesses, seek to promote and sustain the common good. Tools that the CSR employs are multiple. Initially, when we're seeking information about the respective corporate interests, we use the resources of MSCI ESG Research, which is an international research company that seeks in-depth research activities, ratings, and analysis of environmental, social, and governance-related business practices of thousands of companies globally. And they do that by, rating them in accordance with 34 specific issues. We look at the corporate documents that are readily available to us with regard to those possible funders in terms of such things as their mission statements, any philosophy statements, vision statements, their articles of incorporation, annual reports, and any other documents that might give us, added insight in terms of those organizations. We seek any available records that we can identify of any previous ethical or legal violations or even charges of such that may have been unresolved in their past or present. We look to see what philanthropic giving practices those organizations might have had in the past and in the present, particularly if any have had such philanthropic endeavors to benefit health-related interests, health-related organizations. Again, trying to assure the best possible alignment with APHA. And we look at the corporation's relationship with any foundations that it may have established, particularly if we're looking at a corporate foundation, we're interested in seeking an understanding as to whether or not there are overlapping members of the corporation's board and the foundation's board, any potential areas of conflict of interest between the corporation and that foundation that might influence APHA's decisions in terms of whether or not to seek funding from a foundation if that foundation is not able to act independently from its corporate parent organization. APHA over the years has indicated that we will not even seek funding from certain types of organizations. And the organizations that have been specifically identified as not acceptable because of their values in concert with or in contrast to APHA's values, are those of tobacco companies, alcohol companies, and manufacturers of firearms and weapons of mass destruction. There are other areas which the CSR explores on an individual basis with individual corporations to ensure that their products may not have any direct conflict with APHA values. And often in that endeavor, the CSR reaches out to our individual sections who really have the expertise in those possible areas where there's any question of conflict. CSR, in our efforts, seek, you know, quite specific information to the extent that we're able to ascertain it in particular areas, and those areas are enumerated on the slide. I'm not going to read through each of them. I'll leave, you know, you to take a look at them to see the breadth and depth of areas that the CSR seeks insight through all of those sources that I've mentioned previously. And finally, the CSR, as a product of all the efforts that I've identified, puts those grades or our outcomes of those evaluations that we were mentioned a bit in the introduction. We grade each of the corporations with an A, B, C, D. As you can see, A reflects to the when the CSR finds no major social responsibility conflict between the organization or the corporate sponsor, corporate organization, and the association. We have an A minus, if you will, category we refer to as A1, which is when we have an uncertain of the organization's willingness to give to APHA and perhaps think that that organization might be better suited to fund or to provide funding at the local level to an affiliate or to a section. And in those cases, we'll make referrals of that possibility to that section or to an affiliate that may be in a particular state, given that several of the corporations that we've looked at have funding practices which are limited or restricted to certain states, particularly in many cases the state in which they are corporately based, and they're not, they in their history funding national efforts such as APHA, but they may be funding a health activity or a health interest area of an affiliate or a section in their home state. A grade of B reflects the CSR finding minor social responsibility conflicts, but none of which are significant enough in the opinion of the CSR to categorically not seek funding. And again, the B1 category, where we have found minor social responsibility conflicts, but we have some reservations, and it's okay to seek funding, but in these cases, we recommend that APHA's executive board and development office monitor those efforts more closely to help ensure that any potential conflict is avoided. The grade of C is when social responsibility conflicts are identified, and in those cases, the CSR's recommendation is simply not to seek funding from that particular corporate organization. And we have a level D where the CSR has significant questions, but possibly because of, you know, extenuating circumstances, we will give our concerns or forward our concerns to the APHA Executive Board and ask for that body to make the final recommendation or the final review in terms of whether or not APHA should pursue seeking funding. In conclusion on this part, I can simply say that it's the CSR's major endeavor to maintain the highest level of integrity and social responsibility for APHA, and in doing so, the CSR and the Executive Board feel quite strongly that if we are seeking funding from any organization, that we should at least understand, be aware of, and seek to hold those corporations to the same standards as APHA, so that if there are any questions, that we've identified them in advance and been able to avoid them. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm going to give a little bit of a broader perspective on this. As you might guess from the presentation you just heard, these decisions are not always clear-cut, even with the data that are provided by the research corporation, and so some things have to be referred to the executive board. And there's also this problem that the perfect can end up being the enemy of the good. So, from a development perspective, an APHA raising money, if you were to try to find a corporation that, or a corporate foundation perhaps, that would please every member of APHA, just try to imagine what that conversation would be like. Just the very fact that they make money means that they could be a problem for public health in some way. So what we've been doing on the executive board is to try to think about how could we analyze this systematically with the data we have, and when we have those gray areas, how do we think about this? And I put down some objectives here. So if we had an analysis framework, we could walk through some steps to systematically consider based on the risks of making a decision to accept money from a corporation that might upset some people. But to get beyond this all or nothing position about potential sponsorship and about partnering, because I see this as partnering is a larger issue. And when you try to have this conversation, it slips. It slips from being a partner in a coalition to taking money directly to endorsements and to just about everything else. So I'd like to differentiate the considerations for partnerships that do and do not involve money flows to APHA and motivate a relevant engagement agenda with the for-profit sector, and I will explain more what I mean there, and talk about how we would minimize the risks and maximize the benefits. So I have three background slides from a CDC document that I recommend highly if you haven't seen it, and it's called CDC's Guiding Principles for Public-Private Partnerships. It's available on the web. The URL is there, but it's pretty easy to find if you just put in the title into Google. And they give a definition of private sector partners, and you know they include all kinds of businesses and trade organizations, corporate foundations, for example, and so forth. So the corporate foundation issue is in that group. But they also point out that these partnerships may involve financial considerations, but they could also extend far beyond just the resource sharing. So we're talking about corporations not just for taking money. And one of the slides that I like in this document is the reality check. So first thing to do is let's figure out what is the difference between a corporation and, in this case, a government public health agency. APHA is not a government agency, but we are more like we're a public good organization, and so a lot of this applies. What might not apply, perhaps, is the cover that a big government organization would have in terms of what it decides to do. But I will tell you, I do a fair amount of volunteering for the World Health Organization, and they are always on the blogs being criticized for talking with industry, with partners. The WHO is really trying to figure this out. has to work with companies for vaccines and some other things to do, but are always criticized for letting the corporations get too close to the policy space. But this is an interesting slide. It reminds us that private sector is accountable not to the public health or the public good, but to their shareholders. Their core principles are to advance their interests, and this usually also applies to the CSR priorities. So even when it's charitable giving in a way that helps that company's business. And then there's some other organizational culture is very different. Whereas in public health, we are accountable publicly, we're trying to advance public health impacts, we're on the do-gooder side of things, and we have different ways of operating too in our culture. This is just a list adapted from that report that shows that there are benefits to each side, public health and to business. But if you look on the business side, these are the types of things one has to keep in mind in terms of risk management, because if the company is actually looking for benefits in terms of selling their products, enhancing their reputation, if it's branding, then we have to think about, well, what is the brand and what are they selling and so forth, and what is its effect on the public's health. So I made this little diagram to facilitate some of our thinking about this on the executive board. And basically what I'm saying is that we have, and this is just one way of thinking about it, but to break it down for an analysis, these are the types of things we tend to worry about. A company that makes or sells something that's harmful straight away, then we won't do it. And if it's alcohol, tobacco, or firearms, we've already decided they're off the table. But there are other things, and I'm a public health nutritionist. In the food area, this is a very, very difficult issue because we know food isn't harmful as such. We need it. We can't kill the industry. But on the other hand, there are lots of controversies about certain food products. There are companies that do harmful or unethical marketing. This overlaps with the ethical presentation you just heard. There are companies that may have products that are health neutral and so forth. They market them okay, but they have bad labor practices. So when the president goes to Nike to make a speech, then he might be criticized because Nike has been criticized for some of their labor practices in other countries. And then there are companies that harm the environment. They throw their waste into the water, pollute the air, and so forth. So if we waited to have a green light, as on the right, where people, no problematic practices, it's health neutral, it's ethically okay, we might miss some opportunities that we could benefit from. In the sweet spot in the Venn diagram are companies, if they're bad on all of those things, let's just forget it. But the question is then, what might you do with the companies that are problematic in some of those spheres, but not others? And so this is a list of thinking, if we were trying to do a systematic analysis, how or can we engage with that corporation, how can we engage with them? And I'm saying this because if corporate foundations are either branded to the company, because the name of the foundation is the company's name and the product name, or if corporate foundations are so linked to the company that we're worried about the independence of their decisions, then we have to go through this analysis. So, at the top, deal breaker, not potential sponsor, that would be in the category, don't seek funds, don't accept funds. But maybe some of these things are fixable, and there's a good reason to engage because maybe this company has access to a lot of people and has practices that we could improve if we really got close to them. So that might not be a financial partnership, but it would be a very productive partnership for public health. We could also advise on where to put the social responsibility dollars for the benefit of public health. We can advise and partner on employee wellness. So that's not changing, those in blue, or you could try to change something about the company to put them in a different place in the Venn diagram. But we could also provide technical assistance, or we could engage with a lot of cover because that company is one of many. And when I was traveling as APHA president around the country, many of the state and local public health departments have big networks of partnership that involve a lot of companies. Some big corporations and some small business. It may be a big corporation that's based in their geographic area. So this is not unheard of in public health, but it feels different when it's a list of logos and just one of them is a company that might give you a problem in some of those areas than when it's just that one, you know, bilateral partnership. We've also had discussions about, you know, who can we allow as an exhibitor at, and what does the sort of freedom to exhibit mean at APHA. And then, you know, the seek or accept funds is very close to our hearts, and endorsing and co-branding with them is even closer. So we were endorsing, so to speak, CVS when they gave up selling tobacco. That's something APHA had thought long and hard about and collaborated in the thinking about that as CVS made that decision. But we have to be very careful about that. So this is my little risk thermometer that I made up. I think the highest risk when you're really behind the eight ball is when you're reacting, start at the bottom, when you're reacting to an expression of interest from a for-profit entity. Because then you can almost feel that check in your hand. And it's harder to make sure that you have the safeguards in place to think objectively about what's being offered. Part of the reason I say that, again being in food and nutrition area, is that the companies that are most likely to come looking for APHA, the people who seek me out at meetings and say, I would like to give your group some money, are the companies that we're conflicted about. So this is a bad position to be in. At the other, what I see the lowest risk is when we have an agenda, when we have thought through, how do we want to partner with business? What types of companies do we want to partner with? What kind of companies would we like to work with in terms of taking their money to put it to good? And when we look at a company then, also proactive, we scan the environment, we look for businesses, we look for opportunities that match our goals and our ethos about what we're doing. Responsive strategy I put in the middle to an expression of interest from a partner, because sometimes a partner has a relationship, and if we're a partner on the other side, there's some protection there because we're not, you know, kind of one step removed from it. But I really worry about the reactive strategy because there are several, I mean, I could send you emails with things that make your hair stand on end about the reputational risk of companies or organizations, I won't name them here, but professional organizations, medical organizations, health organizations that have taken money from companies that are controversial because the product and the mission are not together, and they lose a lot of credibility, and sometimes those companies' logos end up on their products, on the educational materials, and things like that, and it becomes a slippery slope. So those are the kind of things we want to wrestle with. For risk management, when we do decide to take a risk, this is the question to put to you. Can APHA decide to take a risk? Can we decide to associate with a company that's not perfect? And if we do, what are the internal and external risks? Internally, is there going to be a big walkout of members because all of a sudden APHA is associating with a company that just can't be tolerated? That's something to think about. Or people are going to stay, but they're going to stay and we'll be screaming at each other while we should be doing, you know, the work of public health. Externally, loss of reputation by making the wrong decision. We could lose opportunities by people who then don't want to be too close to us because of people we're close to. Or we could lose our credibility because people think that our ideas are now being influenced by people who are in a certain space. So those are the ideas I wanted to throw out to think about as we go. We'll hear from Dr. Plow, and then we'll go into the interactive session.